Chapter 17, Death and Resurrection of the Body. In the midst of life, we are in death. How true it is. It is all about us. We see it on every hand and meet with it continually. It is one fact that cannot be denied, an event that we cannot escape, and we know must happen to each of us. Mortality has invaded the body, made out of the dust. To dust it must return. Human beauty is now a fading flower. All human excellencies and attainments must wither away and die. The brightest intellect, the sweetest disposition, the noblest character, the greatest learning, all must pass away. This mortality is the fruit of sin. Man was created a holy and immortal being, but sin entered, and the word of God was fulfilled. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The greatest part of this dying was spiritual and eternal death, but a solemn part also consists in the death which must come to the body. It is appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5, verse 12. This is universally true of all mankind. Although we have the exception of Enoch, who was translated that he should not see death, and Elijah, who was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, it remains the universal rule that none are exempt from this dread penalty. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Psalm 89, verse 48. So it was at the beginning, and will continue down to the end of the world. The early patriarchs, some of whom lived to 800 or 900 years, came at length to the time when their mortal career ended. There is a whole chapter of them in Genesis, the 5th, in which it is said of each after the long lives they lived, and he died. How necessary it is, then, to have this fact continually before us, that we must needs die, as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. We do well to pray with the psalmist, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Psalm 39, verse 4. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. We need to seek for that work and teaching of the Holy Spirit in our souls, whereby we may be fitted to meet death, and be favored to die in the faith and in the Lord. We need also to attend to what is good and profitable in this life, with all diligence, for death will put an end to it. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Even the Lord Jesus himself went about doing good during his life here on the earth. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 9, verse 4. So we meet with death on all hands. Our closest friends and relations are being continually taken from us, and we often have to mourn our loss. A mercy it is indeed when we can hope it is well with their souls, and that they have entered into their eternal rest, and we can follow them to the grave with this comfortable feeling. But this raises another question, namely, what is right to be done with the body after death? And here we wish to raise a protest against the practice of cremation, which is increasing at such an alarming rate in these modern days. We shall show it to be contrary to the scriptures, and that the underlying motive of attempting to avoid eternal punishment which animates it indicates an infidel disregard of those sacred records. It is evident from scripture examples that the practice of those who fear God has been throughout all ages to commit the body to its mother earth with all decency and reverence. Thus, when Sarah died, Abraham went to the sons of Heth and said, "Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." And after he had purchased it, he buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, Genesis 23. In course of time, Abraham died also, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, Genesis 25, verse 9. So of Isaac it is said that his sons Esau and Jacob buried him, Genesis 35, verse 29. Then of Jacob we have a remarkable account of his burial and the great mourning made for him in the 50th chapter of Genesis. The Egyptians even would be a rebuke to the present generation for the remarkable care they took of the body after death. So, according to their custom, the body of Jacob, or Israel, was embalmed, and after the time appointed, his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah. Joseph also, when he died, was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. But he had given commandment concerning his bones, that they should be carried up into the land of Canaan and buried there, which the children of Israel faithfully performed. It is clear that this was the practice of the early patriarchs and of the godly throughout the scripture histories. But the great example is given in the burial of the sacred body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What care was taken with the holy body of this great exemplar? Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. Matthew 27, verse 59. How, too, this burial of the body of Jesus seems to have sanctified and sweetened the tomb to all his saints. There the dear flesh of Jesus lay and left a long perfume. The graves of all his saints he blessed and softened every bed. Where should the dying members rest but with their dying head? Not only do the scriptures give us the commendable example of the burial of the body when it dies, but they show also that to be without a burial is a judgment and calamity. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he, Ecclesiastes 6, verse 3. See also how it is spoken of as a judgment from the Lord. Thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. Isaiah 14, verses 19 and 20. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried. Jeremiah 16, verse 4. Another point to be regarded is that even the bodies of the saints belong to the Lord and are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and for this reason it becomes us to take the utmost care of them, not only in life, but also in and after death. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 13 to 20. Therefore also we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, verse 1. Is it right then, after death, to subject the body to willful destruction by consuming it in the fire? We know that many of the saints have been burned to death, but that was from the hatred of their enemies and not with their own consent or that of their relatives. It is true, the body must return to dust from whence it came, but this is by a process of natural disintegration and not to be violently accomplished by means of fire. Besides, what tender affection can there be to the departed when the bodies of those we have loved are to be consigned to the flames so soon after they have died? No, the proper scriptural and Christian practice is that the body is to be sown in the ground, although it is sown in corruption, in dishonor, and as a natural body, 1 Corinthians 15, 37-44. This brings us to the fact of the resurrection of the body and of eternal judgment. And here we come at the great secret of the increasing desire for cremation. Men suppose that by destroying the body by fire, they will be able to avoid the general resurrection of the dead and their appearance before the judgment seat of Christ. Hence it is that we see many leaving instructions that after cremation their ashes should be scattered to the four winds or cast into the sea. But all this will prove to be of no avail. The same body will be raised again from the dust or ashes, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Revelation 20, verses 12 and 13. All those who are brought to a saving knowledge of Christ and die in the Lord, whose names are written in the book of life and of the Lamb, will in their resurrected bodies be reunited to their ransomed souls and be forever with the Lord. Of them it is true that the body sown in corruption will be raised in incorruption. Sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. And sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15, 42-44. Of them it is true also that he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3, verse 21. If we deny the resurrection of the dead, see what dreadful errors arise as the result of it. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 to 19. Moreover, eternal punishment, which is the wages of sin, must take effect upon the whole being, the body as well as the soul, and so the body must be raised again from the dead. The bodies also of the saints must be raised, and their whole persons be forever with the Lord. Let us beware, therefore, lest evil communications in this respect corrupt good manners in us, and we be left to say, what advantageth it if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. As though death was the end of things with us, may our desire be rather to awake to righteousness and sin not, knowing that after death there shall be the judgment. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 32 to 34.